Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. It is our final 2019-2020 conference preview show, and tonight we are doing 22 conferences.
Yep.
Under the radar. David, how you doing, and what the hell are we doing tonight?
Well, it's we're doing our under the radar preseason preview show. We will be doing this show once a week, starting tonight, I guess, all the way through until the end of the year, although next week we might do some sort of hybrid, I think, that we did last year. But it's essentially the 22 non-regular multi-bid leagues. So that would be the Power Five, which are the SEC, SEC, Big Ten, Big 12, and Pac-12. And then the other five, which is the West Coast, Big East, Mountain West, Atlantic 10, and American. And I think it goes without saying, it's fun to be back doing this show. We don't admit this often, but we do admit it on a rare occasion. I think that for the three of us, it's probably the favorite of the three regular shows that we do. It's fun. Like, we just love this level of college basketball. It isn't what's on most of the networks. It's rarely what's in the top 25. But if you looked at the under the radar conferences last year, there were three teams inside the bubble. I believe there were five that made it to the round of 32, and it's exciting. I mean, it is an entertaining, type of basketball, and it is a highly competitive and highly skilled, probably underappreciated level of basketball. So we're happy to be doing the show again.
Right. These are the 22 conferences. They're sometimes called mid-majors. We don't use that word. We use under the radar. By the way, I'm Chad Sherwood. He's David Griggs. We've got John Slico with us as well. If you want to find out about those other 10 conferences, each of them has their own podcast. If you click up on that season previews.
Yeah, it's somewhere up there. Yeah. Actually, it's linked in here because, like, we're not posting 22 links.
Yeah. Well, whatever. You follow the links. You can get there. You can watch our previews of them. We've recorded them all. We will have one more preseason podcast coming up early next week before the season starts. But let's get right into this. We have 22 conferences to go through, so we've got a lot of work to do tonight. And we're going to go through everything in alphabetical order tonight, and we're going to start, therefore, in the America East. And Slika, let me bring you in here. And we're going to ask a couple questions for each conference. We're going to ask who's going to win the conference, along with who else are going to be the top contenders. And I want to kind of ask you, is there a surprise team that you're predicting for this conference, if anybody? Somebody that nobody out there is really saying is going to be a contender but might make a little noise. So, Slika, let me start with the America East. Who do you think your top team or top teams are in this conference, too, that could potentially make the NCAA tournament?
Well, for the past two seasons, Vermont and UMBC both have taken turns going into the NCAA tournament, and I think it goes without saying that Vermont does have enough of a core that they should probably return. Stony Brook is a team that I would be looking to potentially crash the party, but by the same token, they are replacing head coach Jeff Bowles, who has moved on to Ohio.
They bring in Geno Ford, though. I think he's the type of guy that can have success at this level, though. David, though, are you on the Vermont bandwagon, or are you going somewhere else?
I'm on the Vermont bandwagon as far as liking them more than anybody else in this league. They've got the best player in the conference, probably one of the best under-the-radar players in the country. But I don't know.
Anthony Lamb, I assume.
Yeah, Anthony Lamb. Yeah. I don't think I like them as much as you and John, and certainly not Rocco, ranking them number one in his unofficial preseason under-the-radar top 10. Do I think that they're good enough to land inside the bubble? There's probably four or five teams I'd have ahead of them. But, yeah, I think they're hands down the best team in the America East this year.
Right. And when you talk about landing inside the bubble, that's the question of should they roll through the regular season, win the regular season title, but slip up in the conference tournament? Could this team still get in, kind of like a Belmont did last year, making the NCAA tournament? But I agree with you. I'm not certain that Vermont is that good. But I like them the best of everybody in here myself. I like UMBC kind of second. I do appreciate this Stony Brook. There's a couple other teams that I'm looking at. And we've got
Yeah, Chad, what's on the screen
Shop
here is
Kroger last... for strawberries. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, Kroger
for strawberries. Yeah. Kroger,
okay, aside from the strawberries, this is WarrenNolan.com, our good friend Warren. These are last year's standings. I bring these up, Chad, so I don't forget who's in what conference.
Okay, thanks, David. I thought you were telling us where to get our strawberries.
Yeah.
What's that? American, hot dogs too. Okay.
Yeah, we got hot dogs. We got Kenny and Z. Oh, well, we'll be updating it all throughout. But I can't wait to see what. Nothing beats. Do you remember the show? Like, not that the one thing about Hoops HD is that we never get sidetracked. Was it RussianSingles.com that one day?
We never get sidetracked, which is why Swear the America East, David. We need to answer this question. What are your thoughts on Maine basketball this year?
Our good friend Lee Delvecchio / Zach Singer not with us to give us 20 minutes on how underfunded Maine basketball's resources are. I think that they're pretty pathetic, and I think they're going to finish at the bottom.
I'll tell you quite honestly, I have notes here that I actually made on every single team that we're going to be discussing tonight. I made a note about Maine. It's two words. They are, it's Maine.
Yeah, okay.
There's a team that I kind of like the American East as a surprise team. Keep an eye on this Lowell team, though. I just have a bit of a feeling. I don't know if they're good as Vermont, but they may make a little noise. If somebody's going to come up out of nowhere to steal this conference, look at UMass Lowell. Just throwing it out there.
Yep. I can kind of – well, yeah, and that's interesting, Chad. I like Lowell. I know we got to move on. We've got 21 more to go. I like Lowell in the sense that they're a recent transition team. I think that they're coming off of a postseason tournament last year. I think that they could have one of the better seasons that they've ever had. I don't know if I'd go so far to call them a sleeper to win the league, though.
No, I don't. And, you know, I mean, you got Stony Brook. You got Albany, who's got a solid team as well, though. But, Stalika, why don't I go back to you again? Why don't we move on to the Atlantic Sub, because I think we're going to end up being with about a 30-hour show if we keep going at this pace. How about the A-Sun, though? Who do you like in that conference?
There is a clear favorite in the Atlantic Sun this year, and that's going to be Liberty, because going back to last year, they were neck and neck with Lipscomb for the regular season title and the conference championship. But by the same token, Liberty has just about everyone coming back. Lipscomb had a lot of players graduating. Their coach moved across the boulevard to Belmont. So the question –
David, $109 for a pastrami sandwich?
Yeah, $109. I mean, that is one hell of a pastrami sandwich right from Carnegie Deli. Like, what kind of opiate are they putting in that sandwich?
I'm sorry, John, go ahead. I just got sidetracked again, but go ahead.
I wonder about that.
We need to do this every week. This is one of the things that we've lost since Chad started making his notebooks.
Oh, God bless our colleague and friend Warren Nolan for coming up with this. But I think getting back to the Atlantic Sun, Lipscomb has a lot of people moving on, including their head coach across the boulevard to Belmont. But Liberty, they're going to have, I think, a couple chances out of conference, one of which is going to be at LSU around December. But there's a possibility that if they win that game, there's a good chance they could run the table going into a Sun play.
Yeah, David, I do agree with you. I think the Liberty team is head and shoulders above everybody. I mean, the two teams from Jacksonville, both North Florida and Jacksonville, if somebody else is going to steal it, those are the only other two teams I'm looking at.
Yeah, but I think what you have here, Chad, is you have a team that made the round of 32 and won, was it 27, 28 games overall last year?
29, actually.
29, excuse me. No,
yeah, 29, yep.
Yeah, and has four starters back. I think what you have here is a team that's, in my opinion, a top 40 caliber team that could land inside the bubble, and you have no one else that would make the NIT without the auto bid. I mean, I think Liberty is so far out in front of everybody else. Lipscomb is a great program. They lost four starters and their head coach. They're kind of in reset mode. I still think that they're going to be competitive within the league, but they're not what they were. A couple other teams, like you mentioned, Gulf Coast could be okay. The two teams from Jacksonville should be okay, but I don't think anyone's in the same universe as this Liberty team.
Yeah, but I think it's also worth pointing out that a team like North Alabama actually finished sixth last year, which is pretty good by first-year transitional
standards. Yeah, excellent. Yeah,
and they did still lose 22 games last year overall. I think at North Alabama can avoid the 20 losses this year. Kennesaw, you know, they've moved on from an era of a head coach that we just shouldn't even mention. But Abdul Rahim coming in, though, I think he could actually probably coach. He may be successful there and getting them a little better than that Boston College reject. But David, let's keep rolling through here. Over to the Big Sky up next. And one of our favorite conferences is always entertaining. In recent years, it's been Weber State, Montana. I don't know that's what it is this year, is it?
Yeah, Eastern Washington getting a lot of love this year. Now, when you look at what they did last year, nothing too overly impressive, but you have to consider like how battered they were with injuries. If they stay healthy this year, you kind of have to like think that they're going to be one of the better teams in the league. The question is it, you know, as good as here's last year's standings, and there's that again, just amazing from the Carnegie Deli there sandwiches.
No, I agree with you though. If you know, guys like Pete Ling and Davison could stay on the court, this Eastern Washington team can win it. If they don't, I am though back on the Weber State. Not so much on Montana. I like Weber State. Northern Colorado, maybe Stalica. I mean, where else do you go?
Northern Colorado, they're actually 2 years removed from the CIT championship, and I can't believe I'm saying this, the NoCoWiWoo Cup between them and Eastern Washington, they actually have some bearing as far as
that
the Big
could
Sky
determine
race.
That could determine the championship, David. Talk about teams of that, David, this conference that really made a turnaround. Southern Utah, I could think, would be a top four team in this league after having been so pathetically bad. A former Centenary Award winner is the worst team in D1.
Yeah, they had a losing record last year, but I think that they can get above 500. I think they have three or four starters back, four of them, and with that experience, they could have one of the better years that they've ever had. Getting back to Northern Colorado, another 20-win team with four starters back, so don't overlook them, even though they're not Weber State or Utah or Eastern Washington. But when you look at this, the top half of this league is rather competitive, and as nutty as this is to say, Southern Utah is in that mix.
I agree with you, though. I like this. Southern Utah actually won a postseason game last year. I think it was with the CBI or the CIT, one of those those tournaments, but first time ever, and who knows?
But and for what it's worth to mention, and I guess the past 5 or 6 years where I've been tracking the exhibition games, Idaho is the first team I can remember that's lost most of their exhibition games.
I told you about my notes I made on each team. Idaho, I just wrote ugh. there's nothing there. Nothing there. I feel sorry for Vandals fans this year. It's going to be a very long season.
Them and Idaho State. Boise State was down last year, but God, what gross basketball we have all over the state of Idaho this year.
Idaho State, a little bit interesting. They're bringing in five transfers from a junior college, Southern Utah, which is five players that all played with each other the prior season.
So that's one approach.
That may actually get you some wins because you got guys that know how to play with each other, play together.
Right.
At least, you know, but
yeah.
Who knows? David, let me stick with you here over in the Big South, which I think is a two-team or maybe a one-team race.
Radford, yeah. Now, the thing about the Big South, if you've been following the history here, is that generally, two-thirds of the way from the season, there's about two games that separates the top eight teams. I don't know if we're going to see that this year. I'm assuming Radford's the team that you like.
I like, too. I like Radford and I like Gardner-Webb. I think they're – but I do personally think that Radford is better. I've seen Gardner-Webb pick to win teams. I mean, they made the NCAA tournament last year. They actually were playing really well against Virginia as a 1-16 game before Virginia took over in the second half. But, Slika, which way are you going in this league?
You can also never count out Winthrop as far as a contender for this league.
How can you count on Winthrop? I mean, they've got nobody back. They got a great head coach, but they got nobody back from last year.
that's probably it. It's going to be coaching right there. But by the same token, I do think Radford is probably going to be the team that ends up getting the automatic bid this year.
Yeah, one of the things we like about this conference is as you get in the league play, the conference tournament is at campus sites, not predetermined sites. So home court matters. Finishing first is hugely important. Charleston Southern, in that tiny, tiny, tiny gym of theirs, four starters back from a team that won a lot of games last year. I don't think they're on the same caliber as Radford or Webb, but Gardner-Webb, excuse me. But I do think that they're one of the better teams in the league. I think they'll finish closer to the top than the bottom.
I'll tell you, David, I would have been picking Charleston Southern to win this league other than the fact that their best player, Christian Keating, who is the one starter who's not back, is going to be playing for North Carolina this year instead of Charleston Southern. So
yeah.
A grad transfer there that really hurt, but other than that, I would have loved this team, but I just don't think there's going to be enough there.
Not the only team to be hit by grad transfers. Presby losing one of their best players after having a pretty good year last year, and then Campbell, not a transfer, but losing Chris Clemens. I are you with me on this? I don't think Campbell is going to be as good without Chris Clemens as they were last year with him.
Campbell, I think, is going to be going down to the bottom of the standings. You want to go somebody from the bottom of the standings who's moving up? Keep an eye on Longwood. I'm not saying they're going to be anywhere near the top of the league, but a 500 season for the first time ever for the Lancers could be in the works this year. I think they got enough time for that.
Yeah, not much. And then, again, here is last year's standing. Oh, wait, that is not last year's standing. Or is it? Yes, this is last year's standings. And, wow, that's a sexy razor. In shape, butter.
Talk about sexy razors. Simple. How about the Big West Conference? But seriously, how about the Big West?
Well, again, there's going to be another team that's going to be head and shoulders above the conference, and that's going to be UC Irvine.
Really? Can you tell me about that? Because I'm not picking Irvine to win this conference. Tell me
what you
– okay, go ahead. You two convince me. I like Santa Barbara better than them this year, but go ahead.
You're also going to be looking at a team that's going to have, I believe, four starters back from a team that went to the NCAA tournament last year. And then the other team that's going to be intriguing, not necessarily because of the players, but because of the dearth of experience on their coaching staff, and that's going to be CSUN, a.k.a. Cal State Northridge, with Mark Gottfried and assistant coach Jim Herrick.
Yeah, okay, Chad, I don't think that the Eaters are going to be as good as they were last year. You may recall they had some big out-of-conference wins and then made the round of 32 as a 13 seed, one of the five teams that we mentioned that got past the round of 64. But, like, while only I think two starters are back, they went deep into their bench and they're returning a lot of experience. And I know that the Gauchos returned quite a few players, but they weren't nearly as good as Irvine last year.
But what I like about the Gauchos is they're bringing a couple big transfers here. Matt Freeman from Oklahoma, Brandon Cyrus from DePaul. I know DePaul, but when you move into DePaul transfer to the Big West, you can talk about him, I think. I do like this Gauchos team. Maybe they're neck and neck, and maybe these two teams finish within a game of each other. I don't think Irvine runs away with this conference. I do like this Gaucho team. I like what Sleeka mentioned. This Northridge team could also be in contention there. I don't think anybody else beyond that really is, you want to go to UC Riverside or something like that, but no. I do think this is going to be a lot closer than the five-game spread we saw between Irvine and Santa Barbara last year.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think it's more like two or three.
I think it's two or three. I think it's a one game, and again, I'm going to take Santa Barbara to win that by a game. And we can talk about it again in about 3 months.
Right.
David, let's move on to the Colonial.
The Colonial. Let's get again. This is hard to do without any arms. Okay.
So, Sleeka, what about the Colonial?
This was a conference where Hofstra had actually dominated the regular season last year.
What are those dog T-shirts there?
Yeah, we've got dog T-shirts, and we've got all the way. I mean, this is just
not to mention the lizard underneath.
Go ahead, John.
I think going back to Hofstra, they dominated much of the regular season until Northeastern was able to close the gap later in the year. The Huskies actually were able to win the tournament championship and ended up going to the NCAAs.
Yeah.
John, I guess, Northeastern, four of their top players are gone from last year. Hofstra relied so much on Justin Wright Foreman. He's gone. I think you got to go somewhere else, David, besides either of those teams, don't you?
Well, you would normally think so, but I just couldn't find anyone that I really liked. You know, Hofstra, I think, has two or three starters back, while though, you know, even though they did lose their best player. But when you look down through the league, nobody that really finished strong or looked particularly good last year has a lot coming back. I just think it's a down year for the Colonial.
I disagree, because I like this Charleston team with Grant Reeler, and I kind of looking at Towson. Eight of their top nine players are back from last year.
Yeah.
And I think last year was kind of an aberration, the way that they, you know, I think that they've shown that Pat, his last name.
Pat Scary
is, you know, I think he's proven that he can do things here. And I like this Towson team as well. And don't count out Delaware either. I think there's teams that can make some noise here that are not named Hofstra or Northeastern.
Yeah, Delaware lost one of their top players. He transferred to Pitt. Why the hell would anybody do that on purpose? But I'm not as big on the Colonial this year. I do agree with you on Pat Scary. I know that the coaches and the media weren't that big on Towson, but this guy can flat out coach. You want to talk about a program that was a complete mess when he got there and what he's done with them. I'd really like to, as a rooting interest, I'd like to see Towson finish at or near the top.
Now, I will say this for Towson. They do have an opportunity right out of the chute to make some noise, because in the Charleston Classic, they're going to draw Xavier first, and then they'll get either UConn or a reloading Buffalo team. So if they can get at least one win out of there, that should give them some momentum going into conference play in January.
But neither of you are liking Charleston, though, with Grant Reeler. I averaged 21 points a game last year. And
no, I like Grant him. Charleston's okay. My second-place team behind Hofstra. I like them. Okay. Yeah.
Well, David, let me ask you now about another conference, though, and how about Conference USA? You know, with 14 teams and this weird scheduling format where they go to the bonus play at the end of the season and they group teams with extra games and by where you're at and all that nonsense.
Yeah, it didn't really push anyone forward last year the way that I think it would have had they implemented it the year before. Also, last year, the first time in 4 years, the conference hadn't put anybody in the round of 32. The team I like the most, talent-wise anyway, is Western Kentucky. How can you not? One of the things they faced last year was off-the-court issues, and I'm a little skeptical, Chad. Are they hands down the most talented team in the conference? I think that they are. But
absolutely, yes.
Yeah, but they were last year, and they couldn't hold it together. What is there reason to think that they might continue into this year? But other than them, I think that at least in talent, there's kind of a gap. There is a team I'm keeping my eye on here, and it is a dark horse. It's a big dark horse. It's this UTSA team. They've gone from being among the worst in Division One, having a really good year last year, and a lot of key returning players.
I'll tell you, David, I'm almost with you. There is a team I'll keep an eye on as a dark horse. They do start with UT as the beginning of their name, but I got UTEP as in UTEP.
You like UTEP?
Dark horse. They already won, Slicka. They already won pulled an upset in a charity exhibition, did they not?
Yeah, they beat Texas Tech in the first exhibition game.
Yeah,
of the
Texas
year.
Tech had a good year last year, didn't they, David? I thought they did, but
they were fairly solid. Yes,
Silica, though, go ahead. Is there somebody else you like besides Western Kentucky?
Well, I'll go with Western Kentucky to win the conference, but I guess my pick for a dark horse is going to be Charter Conference USA member Southern Miss, who actually improved to 11-7 under Doc Sattler's tutelage.
But he's gone now. Jay Ladner has come in to take over as head coach.
Yeah, I'm not big on Southern Miss.
No, I got Southern Miss picked 13th out of 14th. Sorry. Yeah. I tell you, if it's not other than UTEP, I like Middle Tennessee. I like Florida International as teams. Even Louisiana Tech, who was hit by a lot of injuries last year.
Yeah.
If they stay healthy, they can make some noise here.
Yeah, I know that they went to the pastry cart, but let's not forget about North Texas. There was a time last year where they were 20-4, and they've got a decent amount back. All I'm saying is that they're worth paying attention to.
Okay, yeah, I got the pick 12th out of 14th, so it's better than Southern Miss.
All right, then.
Todd, how about the Horizon League, which I think is going to be a fascinating conference this year?
Yeah, the good news for a team like Northern Kentucky is you're going to be getting most of your starters returning. The bad news is Drew McDonald, who was a 2,000-point scorer and the school's all-time leading scorer, has graduated and moving on. So we look at the other half of the Horizon League, I guess their travel partner, and that's going to be Wright State. So they were kind of up and down last year, got knocked out of the conference tournament early, but with Loudon Love leading the way, they should still be probably, in my eyes, the favorite to win this year.
Yeah, I like, again, last year it kind of felt like Northern Kentucky and Wright State broke away from everybody else. I can kind of see that happening again this year. Darren Horn at Northern Kentucky replacing John Brannan, who went up to Cincinnati. Darren Horn, you might remember, a star player at Western Kentucky. You probably don't remember that. You might remember him as a coach at Western Kentucky, went to a Sweet 16 there, then took over at South Carolina, kind of back in Kentucky. Very different style of play as a coach than what you're typically used to seeing out of NKU. So it's going to be interesting to watch that transition. But I agree with John. I like Wright State to win the league.
I agree with you both that Wright State winning the league, but I think there's a lot more depth here besides them in Northern Kentucky. You've got to look at Illinois-Chicago. Their top nine players are back from last year's team. Green Bay was in the finals of the CIT and has four of their five starters back from last year.
But the only other problem with Green Bay is their top player from last year has also moved on, Sandy Cohen.
I said third. Four out of five, Salika. I got another team, though, David. Keep an eye on Youngstown State. Remember what they did in the middle of last season? They put together this six-game winning streak, and we were just blown away by
them. Yeah, we were. And, you know, that was all they did all year. But they did have that straight. They did have that one run during that one time of the year.
All five starters for the Penguins are back this year. So, you know, who knows if they could put together an 8 or 9-game winning streak this year.
And, right, who knows?
And finish 8-20.
Yeah.
Salika, I think that another conference that's very interesting and could be in the at-large bid discussion for the regular season champion if the team slips up in the conference tournament, although they are hosting the conference tournament, so it'll be a bad slip-up, is the Ivy League in this Harvard team.
Well, it's not going to be the first time that we've discussed Harvard as a preseason favorite. They're actually getting votes in both the AP and the coaches poll, but by the same token, if not Harvard, who else would you choose? Would you choose a team like Penn, who actually won the Big Five last year but barely qualified for the Ivy League tournament?
Yeah, that's another thing, David, that I love about this Harvard team is that I don't like anything else in the Ivy League.
Right. Harvard might be hugging the bubble, like you said. I mean, this is a really, really strong team and a unanimous favorite. And one of the things is, while nobody else may be as good as they are, is somebody else so much better than everyone else other than them that they'll be able to keep pace with them in the conference race. I'm not seeing that either.
Yeah, I mean, for Bryce Aikens back, Seth Towns, who missed last season, back healthy this year. And like I said, mentioned already, Harvard hosts the conference tournament. It's hard to see how they cannot win the conference. Columbia, all five starters back, but Columbia.
Okay, off of a really bad team.
Yeah. I mean, Penn, I understand that A.J. Brodeur is back, but I don't think there's enough pieces. I think if Harvard is healthy, they should win this.
Yeah, agreed.
David, how about the Metro Atlantic, one of our favorite conferences here?
Yeah, it definitely is. Let's see if we can get it up here. And there it is. We used to have a lot of fun with our good friend Tim Kloos.
But this is the Bloomingdale's conference, David.
This is the Bloomingdale's conference. The Bloomingdale. And what else were you? Oh, there's the sandwiches. $69 for a hot dog.
Wait, $85 for pizza? What the hell?
Warren, what kind of restaurants do you eat at? $69 for a chili dog.
I mean, no wonder people are moving away from Detroit. $85 for square pizza.
Please. Anyway, I what were we talking about?
Metro Atlantic. Kim okay. Kloos.
Yeah, Tim Kloos at Iona, he was courted by St. John's, opted to stay at Iona, which, how funny is that? I mean, let's just all point and laugh at that. He's done an incredible job. It makes sense that St. John's would court him. He's somebody that we used to have a lot of fun with because while his teams were good, they would always lose games, either that they had no business losing or that they seem to have no possible way of losing because they had it in such control and then they'd lose. But again, last year, you might remember before the season start, a lot of off the court issues and locker room drama. To rebound from that and to again finish in first place and win the automatic bid, it's almost like there's some other teams here worth paying attention to. Monmouth, who got off to such a rough start, I think they were 0-12, ended up winning 14 of their last 20 games. And with so much back, that experience, they should be a lot better.
I agree with you. I like this Monmouth team this year. Go ahead.
Yeah, but I don't know. Other than that, and that Monmouth-Iona rivalry, while not Iona-Manhattan as far as the history goes, is a fun rivalry.
Well, I'll tell you, it ended up being the conference championship game last year.
Yeah, it did.
I'll tell you what, David, though, Manhattan, everyone back from last year, I could see a huge leap by then. I could see them actually, the Iona-Manhattan games being a lot more meaningful this year. And Salika, how about Ryder, four starters back as well? They were competitive the last couple of years.
They were competitive, but they were also very up and down because they were the early favorite in the MAC last year. Then they had, I think it was a five-game losing streak towards the end of January, early February. They were able to rebound, but they were never the same after early January. I'll just leave it at that.
And the Metro Atlantic tournament moving to Atlantic City this year, biggest advantage for Monmouth, who will be the closest team in the conference to my hometown here in Atlantic City.
Chad, isn't it time? We love this league. Isn't it time that they did it right? Isn't it time that we went to Campus Sites?
No, David, because I get to drive 10 minutes and be at the conference tournament, so I'm fine with it.
But couldn't you do that even if it wasn't? No, you couldn't. You live.
No, it's longer than 10 minutes for me to get to Monmouth.
Yeah. Okay. So, Hoops HD back at the MAC tournament. The last time we were there, it was spectacular. If you haven't found it, dig it out of the archives.
I will definitely be looking for the dipping dots at the conference tournament. But yeah, on that note, let's move over to the Mid-American and Sleeka. Two divisions here, the only conference that still uses divisional play, at least for regular season standings. What are your thoughts on this league in terms of both division champions and who's going to actually get the NCAA tournament bid?
Well, I think we can safely say that Buffalo is not going to run away with the conference this year. Not with Nate Oates and a bunch of seniors moving on, but Bowling Green was also a pleasant surprise last year that ended up making it to the conference title game. Their leading scorer also graduated and moved on, but I still think the Falcons can be one contender, but also keep an eye on Toledo to possibly give them a run for their money as well.
Yeah, Chad, you and I were talking off air before we came on here. I really like this. I like this Bowling Green team, but I really like this Kent State team. You disagree. There was other teams you liked more than those.
I actually agree with you, David. I think that Bowling Green, I think Buffalo will still be in the mix. I like this Kent State team. Bowling Green hasn't made the NCAA tournament since 1968.
Has it been that long?
Heck of a streak that they could end this year. Oh, more than 50 years since they've been in. Miami, Ohio also, or Sleek, as you call them, Mother Miami. I would not be surprised to see them with pretty much everyone back as well and a lot of talent there. But I think that this entire East Division, I'd take probably five teams in this East Division, the three, four we mentioned, Akron as well, over maybe anybody in the West. And we go to the West, you go in Toledo or Northern Illinois, in my opinion.
Yeah, let me ask you this, Chad. Buffalo obviously losing Nate Oates, a big part of their success. Can anybody from the MAC get inside the bubble this year? Because not only was Buffalo inside the bubble last year, they were on the sixth line. Like, that is almost six lines inside the bubble.
No.
Okay.
Okay. Do you disagree? Do you think there's somebody that good?
If it's anybody, I think it's Kent State, but I don't think they're six lines inside the bubble. I think they're right on it.
I don't quite see that even from this conference, but Salika, the Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference, one of our favorite leagues here at Hoops HD, what team is going to be going to Dayton for the first four as a 16th this year out of this conference?
More often than not during the past decade, it's been NC Central, but you can also keep an eye on teams like Norfolk State and probably to a lesser extent North Carolina A&T to possibly contend for the crown as well.
We're not going to spend a whole lot of time on this league, I don't think. You know, something to remember, Savannah State not in it this year. They reclassified down to Division II. NC State, the favorite amongst the players or the media and the coaches at Media Day. In writing these reports, because we did something a little different this year, Chad, instead of like doing our own previews per se, we basically recapped and commented on what was covered at Media Day. When you were going over this league, once you got past like one or two teams, it was hard to find anything good about any of them.
Yeah, I tell you, I agree with Salika. NC Central, the team that I kind of look at here, and I've seen them actually picked in a couple of publications, is one of the top teams. The Bethune-Cookman with Pope and Maitland back, they could make a little noise, but we've had a couple of years in the past where we thought this Cookman team would be good, and they just weren't.
Right. I do like them this year. Like, they would be the team that I would pick second behind Central. Norfolk State kind of in the mix, but after that, oh my God, what a disaster.
Another note here, our good friend Todd Bozeman gone from Morgan State. They might be better than 4-12 in conference than they were last year, though, yeah, even without him. But
Now, let me ask you this, Chad. Does the Centenary winner come out of this league?
You know what? I mean, I'm looking at a team like FAMU as pretty darn bad in the bottom of this conference, but I think there's some pretty darn bad teams in some other conferences, including an Idaho team that we already discussed.
Idaho will contend for it.
I mean, you go 0-2 against exhibition play, non-D1 opponents, you're already in the lead. I mean, we haven't played a single game, so...
Wow. Yeah, that's...
We don't normally count exhibition games, but we might have to
This one, yeah. I mean, for the Centenary, we might.
Salika, let's talk about something a lot better. How about the Missouri Valley Conference this year?
The Missouri Valley is going to be another conference that was in a bit of a transition. Last year was a rare instance where they actually had a 15 seed, thanks to Bradley winning the conference tournament, but this is going to be one of those races that's going to be wide open, with teams like Loyola and Missouri State and Northern Iowa expected to be in contention.
Yeah, David, I'm on the Northern Iowa bandwagon in this conference. Ben Jacobson, we know he can coach. He's had a few bad years in a row. Six of their top seven players back. I'm buying in on the Panthers.
I am too, and I know that I say that every year. I think every year I either pick them to win or I pick them as a dark horse, and I'm going to do it again this year. But for all the reasons you said, they were looking good at the end of the year. They have a lot of their key players back. They are extremely well coached. I could see them being very good this year.
Yeah, weren't they up big in the conference championship game last year and just completely fell apart in the second half, as I recall?
Yeah,
I think they had like a 17-point lead in the game or something and just collapsed. But Salika, anybody else that beyond Northern Iowa, you want to go somewhere else in this league?
Well, one team that did a surprise last year, but I don't know if they're going to be able to repeat that, were the Drake Bulldogs.
Probably not. I mean, they were a surprise last year. When I say probably not, I think they're going to be good. I don't think they're going to win the league.
A couple notes on this conference. First of all, Loyola, 2 years removed from the Final Four, but the top players, Towns and Custer, are now gone. I don't know that they're going to be there. And the Southern Illinois, Barry Hinson is gone.
So sad.
No more barbecue sauce for Lukey's fans.
Yeah, I mean, that was – Why isn't our good friend Warren Nolan selling it for $109?
He'd be selling the whole case for $109.
Yeah.
David, seriously, I mean this year, probably our favorite conference here among all the under-radar conferences
is
the Northeast Conference. And
yes.
Let's talk about it. Who do you think is going to win this league? Who else are you looking at? And let's talk NEC play with a brand new team in it, of sorts.
Merrimack transitioning up. So they are, it's their first year as D1. I think they had a fairly decent season last year, if I recall. I think they won about 20 games, and they have
they brought four starters back from that team, but they were D2 starters, not D1 starters.
Yeah, they were D2 starters. There is a substantial difference. What used to be the Blackbirds, which are now the Sharks, are getting all the preseason love. I can kind of see that.
Long Island, yes.
Yeah, Long Island. Had a pretty decent year last year, as you can see in the standing. All five starters back, so it's kind of hard to not like them. But the one thing about this league, from year after year, one of the reasons it is our favorites, it's just, first of all, the atmosphere and the intensity at the venues. These are like kids that come from the Northeast. They play in the cities, and they play in these like band boxes. And just the parity of the league and the rivalries that exist in this league with all these New York, New Jersey, New England-based teams. It's one of our favorites for that reason.
Yeah, and we've also got SFPA with Keith Braxton back, and they had a very good season last year. Sacred Heart, four starters back. You go to even a team like Bryant. Adam Grant and Sebastian Towns have been playing together on the same team since sixth grade, and they're seniors now. Stalika, I mean, yeah, Robert Morris, we call them Bobby Moe. They've got four starters back, and you can never count that team out. They always find a way to succeed. I think it's going to be a wide-open year, though, Stalika. Do you?
They got four starters back, and they also get a brand spanking new facility with the UPMC Fieldhouse now opening on campus.
All right, so where are you going? Are you with David on Long Island? Are you going somewhere else? Or, you know, should we just flip a coin between about eight different teams here?
I would throw a dart, and I'll probably go with STFU.
Yeah, see, that's a pretty solid pick. I like them along with Long Island.
Yeah, if you put a gun to my head and tell me I got to pick somebody, I'm with you on SFPA or STFU or whatever you want to call
STFU.
Them.
STFU, that's what I want to call them. Okay.
David, the Ohio Valley Conference, another very interesting conference. We got an at-large bid here with Belmont last year, two teams in the field. Can it happen again?
Most likely
the answer
not.
Is no. Go ahead.
Yeah, the answer is no. But a real good year for the Ohio Valley last year. Really a showcase. You had a four-team race that essentially it was Murray State, Belmont, Austin Peay, and Jacksonville State. They were neck and neck the entire year. When they met up in the conference semifinals, both the semifinal and championship rounds sold out. All three games really exciting. Belmont, in getting the at-large bid, and deservedly so, we campaigned pretty hard for them. But this year, both Belmont and Murray losing a lot, both losing players to the NBA, something you don't really see very often out of this league. I still like those two teams, along with Jax and Austin Peay, better than anyone else, but I don't think anyone is quite as good as they were a year ago.
Yeah, and, you know, with Murray State, Ja Morant obviously gone. Tevin Brown, keep an eye on him. I think he can pick up a lot of scoring. He may be kind of that breakout star this year. Belmont, obviously a new head coach. We already mentioned it. Casey Alexander moving over from Lipscomb. Austin Peay, six of their top players gone, but this guy they have back is Terry Taylor, who's a stud. I like this Eastern Illinois team with all five starters back.
Yep.
Also, keeping an eye on Morehead State if you want to go way, way down there. I like what Jordan Walker brings to the table. And, you know, with the top couple of teams kind of taking a step back, you got to look, can somebody else move up? And this is a team with got some talent and some pieces around him.
Our friend Joby likes to use the term chasm, but there is a pretty big one between the top four and the bottom eight from last year. But I don't really expect that to change this season.
Yeah,
that's why I disagree. I think it's going to be a lot closer this year, top to bottom. But go ahead.
I'm just kind of still with Stalika on that
one. All right, David, go ahead. I cut you off.
I forgot what I was going to say. It must not have been important.
Well, that really
wasn't. Oh, yeah, a little bit of trivia about Morehead State, and I think it was Stalika that pointed this out. They improved from 12th to 5th in the conference standings last year. The 7-team jump more than anybody else in the nation. So if they go from 5th to negative 2nd, they're going to have a really good year this year.
Or really bad if you count negative. I don't know. Negative.
Well, if they go beyond first place.
Let's talk some Patriot League basketball. David, I think we've got a team here that, at least in my opinion, is going to be head and shoulders better than anybody else. But I don't know if you're on the same page as me or not.
Well, maybe so. Is the team Colgate?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Again, kind of interesting. Well, this is another – this league, like the Northeast, you see constant parity out of it. They were the first – Colgate, the first-place team a year ago with four starters back. I'm kind of liking them better than anyone else in the league so far. But I don't know. With this one, you just never really know.
Well, you never know if like the ninth place team is going to win the conference tournament, but
right, which Salika. Has happened, which has happened.
Yes, Salika, what are your thoughts on the Patriot? Is Colgate the runaway favorite, or is there somebody else that can contend with them?
Well, my thought is they probably won't have to go 24 years between NCAA bids like they did last year in 1995, which was their previous NCAA run when former NBAer Donald Foyle was actually on that roster. But Bucknell also lost their best player as a grad transfer over to Kentucky, so that's not going to help the Bison's case to unseat Colgate.
Yeah, no, if somebody else is good, I'm not that high on the Bison this year. I'd go more with like a team like American or Boston U if somebody's going to upset Colgate, but I just don't think anybody can. I think Colgate is the best team here. Salika, let me stick with you for a conference that I think is going to be very entertaining. It was extremely entertaining last year. Put the next team out in the NCAA tournament was UNC Greensboro. But I'm talking the SoCon, of course, where we've got another fascinating battle ahead of us.
I think if you're looking for an under-the-radar conference to get multiple bids, this would be the one to throw your money on. It's not going to come from Wofford, who loses Fletcher McGee, head coach Mike Young, but keep an eye on Greensboro, who's going to have many of their pieces back. East Tennessee State has virtually all of their pieces coming back from last year. And don't sleep on Furman, who also got off to a hot start last year with their win against Nova and stayed in the picture for much of the year.
Yeah, Chad, I love this conference this year. East Tennessee State, with all four starters back, I think that they're good enough to land inside the bubble. I actually think that this league could get two teams in, like two teams inside the bubble. They almost did it last year. UNC Greensboro, the contingency team, the first team out. They're not quite as good as they were a year ago, but they're still pretty good. And how about Furman returning four starters? This was a team that was really, really young last year, and with youth came a lot of inconsistency. But when they were on, they won some big games. They won a big game at Villanova. I want to say that they won at Loyola Chicago, won some other big games out of conference, actually got into the rankings earlier in the year. And while they were inconsistent, you could tell that their ceiling was high. I think with that returning experience, this Furman team and this East Tennessee State team might both be inside the bubble come Selection Sunday.
I forget who
it is that East Tennessee State is going to be playing, but some of the ghosts they have to exercise from recent years, they've had a 22-point lead at Xavier. They've had an 18-point lead in Creighton. But unfortunately, yes, they were not able to win any of those games. They have got to learn how to close the deal if they are going to be inside the bubble, as it were.
Yeah, East Tennessee State has non-conference games. They have a non-conference game at Kansas this year. They've got one at LSU. So they've got a couple of tests. But I do agree with both of you, East Tennessee State, Furman. These are the two teams that I like the best. I'm keeping an eye on Greensboro. Kind of keeping an eye on Samford. Four starters back, coached by Scott Are You Stepping to Me Padgett.
Yes, one of the greatest moments of the season last year.
Just another note of this conference, Bob Hoffman out at Mercer. He'd been there for about 300 years. So new head coach coming in, but I don't expect much from them or really.
Yeah.
Probably not anybody else, including this Wofford team, 18-0 last year, but not much coming back.
Right, yeah, they're in complete reset mode. I mean, I do think that last season is going to springboard their program as a whole, but not this next season. Fun league, though. Chad, even the bottom of the league's fun to watch. The Citadel, while not very good, has a fun style of play.
Yeah.
Mercer, you talked about them. I mean, this is one of those leagues that it does. I could just watch about anybody play in it, and it's fun.
Yeah, you got Chattanooga down there. Western Carolina, who I think may be a little bit more competitive than they've been in recent years. VMI plays that same up-tempo style that Citadel does. So it is a fun league at the bottom as well. David, how about the Southland Conference? Stephen F. Austin, mostly dominant in recent years, kind of changed last year. We saw Abilene Christian get their first ever bid. Where are we going this year in this league that has kind of gone wide open at this point?
Yeah, it is kind of wide open, as you said. And it was, I mean, I thought that was one of the better underrated stories last year. Abilene Christian, very recent transitional team. They were a lot of fun to watch. They were well coached. They played really well. They lose a key player in the heart of conference play. And I remember distinctively thinking, well, that is you know, too bad. What a good story that had been. But even without him, they go on to win the conference tournament and win the automatic bid, go to the NCAA tournament. You asked about this year. I don't know. To me, it's kind of wide open. New Orleans was the team that the coaches and media picked at Media Day.
I'm not there with New Orleans as much.
I mean, don't think I am either.
They got Kevin Harris at Stephen F. Austin. He's kind of a player that I'm looking at, maybe the best player of the conference. And that may be where I'm going is, you know, it's kind of like, oh, we always pick SFA, but Salika, maybe that's who wins it again this year.
Well, one of the major surprises last year was SFA not even cracking the top eight and therefore not even getting into the Southland Conference tournament. I doubt we'll be seeing the same thing happen this year, but by the same token, does that necessarily mean they're going to be the pick to win it?
David, Central Arkansas, seven other top nine players back. If you go by returning players, they may be the pick. But this could be just a crazy season. And as you mentioned, there's 13 teams in this conference. Only the top eight make the conference tournament. That could be a fun regular season battle as we get to the final couple of weeks. Who even makes the field?
Yeah, and somebody may emerge. I mean, let's not overlook Sam Houston State either. But, right. You know, last year's first place team. But I don't really – I mean, I have more questions than I do answers about the league right now. I don't think that they get past the 15 line, whoever it is. I'm just not seeing anything.
Yeah, no, I think you're likely looking at a team going to Dayton. But if any – best case scenario, I agree with you, 15 line. David, let me stick with you and go over to a conference that is almost always on the 16 line going to Dayton, the Southwestern Athletic Conference, and one of our – only ever, I think, multiple time Centenary Award winner as the worst team in college basketball, Grambling. We may be picking them on the other end this year, are we not?
Yeah, we were kind of expecting big things out of them last year. And while they had a good season overall by their standards, I don't think it was quite as good as what we were thinking, because we were thinking they could win the league last year.
Well, I think they can win the league this year. So what do you think?
Yeah, they certainly can. They're not really the team I was looking at.
Oh, really?
Right off the top. Who did I like? I forget. I don't know. Prairie View is who they had, is the preseason favorite. I do like this Grambling team, though. Yes. Actually, yeah, I think I'm going to pick them. I'm not up on my swag. But Texas Southern in the mix as well. Johnny Jones there. And one of the things that you're always going to see in this league, and this year is no different, is the number of teams that just have huge roster turnovers. So coming into the year, it's kind of hard to guess how good everybody is. And then even heading in the conference play, after watching teams in November and December, it's still kind of hard to tell because, you know, these teams play so many bye games that you really don't get to see them play against equal competition really until league play starts. Some shining moments last year, Texas Southern gets the win against Baylor on the opening night of the season, another big win at Oregon, who ultimately made the Sweet 16. But it's not unusual to see teams enter conference play with no Div 1 wins.
John, what do you think? I mean, obviously, that's a great point by David. You know, not all these bye games, you may see three home games total in November, December by the entire conference, which is ridiculous by other conference standards. But when we do get into conference play, you know, does Prairie View repeat after that great season they had last year? Is it a team like Grambling or Texas Southern? You want to go somewhere else?
I think there's too much parity to really follow up with another 17-1 season, even in this conference. But by the same token, I'll go with Texas Southern as more of a safe pick to return to the NCAA tournament.
Definitely. And that's a solid pick with a good head coach there in Johnny Jones. Maybe he didn't do this as good in the SEC, but by SWAC levels, he's definitely a good head coach.
Right, yeah.
John, let me stick with you and go over to the Summit League now. And, you know, we've had some big-time players here who put out some big-time numbers that are all gone. Guys like
Mike Daum.
Like Mike Daum. He also had a contract at Fort Wayne. These guys are all gone now. And so what happens in this league this year?
Well, the funny thing is, even with Mike Dom, the Jackrabbits actually got appended in the Summit League tournament thanks to their arch rival North Dakota State.
Well, he made it the first three out of 4 years. Mike Dom put his team in the tournament, you know. Their head coach T.J. Alsenberger gone as well, and David Jenkins also gone. But go ahead.
And it's also worth pointing out that this is going to be the final season in which Purdue Fort Wayne is going to be in the Summit before they move over to the Horizon League. But as far as this year goes, I could probably see North Dakota State and maybe Omaha contending for the title.
David, are you there? I like the North Dakota State pick. I got a couple other teams I'm looking at. Yeah, better than Omaha even. But where
I,
are you
I mean,
at?
I was impressed with what Omaha did a year ago. I think they'll be good this year. I think they lost too much to say that I think that they can win the title. One of the teams, and I know that this is kind of a dark horse, what about South Dakota?
Well, South Dakota is my number two pick. I really like, you know, Stanley, I'm not the same how you pronounce his last name, Moody, and four starters back for this Coyotes team. The other team
for the Yotes. South Dakota,
the Yotes. Also, David, a team that at one point had dominated this league back when it was known as the Mid-Continent, what about Oral Roberts?
Not as big on them. I mean, I have a lot of questions about them. They're another team that the athletic directors and coaches really like, or like that the media and coaches really like. I don't. What is it that talk to me about them? What is it that I'm not seeing in them?
You know what? They've got a couple guys here, Nizuski and Obinor, who are coming back, and they've got a chance to excel here. When you got guys like
they won nine games a year ago, Jim. Well, 91 games.
Mike Dom and Jenkins are gone from South Dakota State. A lot of the big time talent that was in this conference last year is no longer there. So I think there's a door open here for somebody to step in. And I agree with Sleeka. First of all, North Dakota State I think has the most talent on this conference, but if somebody else is going to step in there, South Dakota and Oral Roberts are the two teams I'm looking at, even more so than Omaha. Yeah. And I could be wrong, they won 11 games overall last year, according to my notes here.
Starters, 91 wins.
Four starters back. And, if we're going to count D1, non-D1 losses by Idaho in the exhibition game, we got to count non-D1 wins.
Well, yeah, we do. We do.
I don't know, for all I know that Omaha win 9 games again this year. But, John, how about the Sun Belt?
The Sun Belt, we're going to have another major coaching change here with Ron Hunter moving on to Tulane. So
all major coaching changes in this conference, but go ahead. Let's talk Ron Hunter first.
And now he's going to be replaced by Rob Lanier, who moves on from, I believe it was Tennessee, as Rick Barnes' top assistant. Georgia State's still going to have enough talent left that they should be able to compete, but I'm also hearing some good things about South Alabama, who's expected to make a pretty big jump themselves.
Yeah, a lot of people are big on South Alabama. You are too, I think, Chad, but I'm not.
I like the South Alabama. They're my pick to win it, yeah.
Okay, I'm not quite seeing it. But having said that, I'm not really sure who I like. I like Georgia Southern a lot.
I do like them.
Georgia State is interesting. Like, Ron Hunter, while gracious, you wonder why he would leave for Tulane. I know Tulane's in a much better conference, but he seemed to indicate, or was it my imagination, that he just didn't think Georgia State was committing enough to the basketball program.
It was contract negotiations that fell apart, and it could also be read as they weren't committing enough to his salary. So what's Aria Stark's opinion on that? She was down there on the screen, but.
Aria Stark. Big, let's get her back.
I think her opinion is that winter is coming.
Winter is coming.
A
few other thoughts on the Sun Belt. I do agree with you on South Alabama, Georgia Southern. Kind of keeping an eye on Texas State here. They play some really good defense there, the Bobcats. Mm-hmm. Nigel Pearson back. I think they could definitely make some noise. Always kind of keep an eye on Coastal Carolina. Since moving over to the Sun Belt, they haven't made any serious noise yet, but Cliff Ellis doing the JUCO transfer thing again this year. If these guys do click, his team could be in contention. And Stalika, just for you, there's a team that is my dark horse in this conference. I bet you can guess who they are.
Let me guess. It's a team that has a hot football team right now.
They are. Well, they're a undefeated football team, four starters back for Appalachian State on the basketball court. So, You never
know. They also have a new coach themselves.
David, speaking about new coaches, though, Arlington, what happened?
They get rid of Scott Cross, and Troy hires him. Now, Troy is going to be god-awful this year. But they have an outstanding coach, and give him 2 or 3 years, I bet he's going to get them going in a big way.
I agree with you. I think that it was a huge mistake. But you know what? Chris Ogden coming to Arlington is not an awful hire by them by any means either. So I don't know how that's that awful for Arlington. But, David, let me stick with you as we move to our final conference for the evening. We've gone through 21 so far. And this is the conference that may have what I maybe the best of these all of these teams that we've spoken of tonight at the top of it. And we're talking about the WAC, of course.
Yes, and the team that you're talking about specifically is New Mexico State. Last year they lost their conference opener to Cal Baptist, which was kind of wild. Cal Baptist being a transition team, they did not lose for the rest of the year. They won out all the way through the conference tournament. They blasted Grand Canyon in the championship game. 29 total wins overall, 28 D1 wins. This was a team that, there's no other way to really describe what happened. They played a fantastic game against Auburn. They were in a position to win it. They arguably should have won it and kind of blew it from the free throw line, some questionable decisions on that last possession. But they have 4 starters back. This is a team that played Kansas tough last year. This is a team that had a lot of great moments. It's a team that had they not lost by a point to a team that they kind of blew it against that went to the Final Four, I think would have gone into the Sweet 16. With their schedule this year, it wouldn't shock me at all to see them win 29 or 30. I think we're going to see this team ranked in the top 25 before the end of the year. It might not be until February when they have a really super bloated record, but this is an outstanding, maybe arguably top 25 New Mexico State team.
A couple of chances to pick up a notable wins, but are there enough of them in the non-conference? I see they got Arizona and they've got Mississippi State on the schedule, but not much else, really.
Well, if they can get at least one of those games and run the table the rest of the way, they'll probably be flirting around the 11 or 12 line if they get in, which is actually where they landed last year.
And beyond them, though, I still do like this Grand Canyon team. I think they're the second-best team. A little side note here, Marvin Menzies, ex-New Mexico State head coach, now an associate head coach, actually, for Dan Marley with the Lopes. I think they're right there. And David, this Cal Baptist team, I know they're not eligible for the postseason for a couple more years, but I kind of like what they bring to the table.
Oh, yeah, I do, too. This was a great addition from Division II. The name slips me. I know that they've got another school from Texas joining the league. I want to say it's next year.
Charlton State.
Thank you, John. Carlton State.
Tarleton.
It's going to be Tarleton State and Dixie State who are going to be Tarleton joining State. The WAC next year.
Right, and Bakersfield is going to be leaving.
Bakersfield leaving for the Big West. So I think it's a pretty stable lineup. Utah Valley finished second last year, going through a coaching change. You can kind of expect them to probably take a step back. How about UTRGV, Chad, having a pretty decent year by their standards, making a postseason tournament, not really any sort of basketball history at all, but that program kind of trending up. Seattle got off to a good start last year, but was just so beaten up with injuries that they struggled once they got into the Kansas into conference play.
Seattle can make some noise. I do like Jim Hayford, who came over from Eastern Washington. I think he's a good head coach there. I think he's a right head coach for the team, and they do have a lot of players back. They could definitely be contending for that second place spot even this year.
Kansas City leaving after this year. They got a new head coach, and it's Billy Donlin, who had a couple decent years at Wright State. The one I'm dying to get to, but go ahead, Stalika.
Yeah, it's going to be Mark Madsen over at Utah Valley.
Right. Chicago State, Chad, has done something that I've never even heard of before at the Division I level. They have one player returning. It's this infusion of JUCO transfers and freshmen to try and get this program jump started.
Well, but David, in their defense, they have as many players returning as they had wins last year.
Yes. Yeah. Wow. Is this the right approach? I don't know. We say this about Fordham, and I guess I'll say the same thing about Chicago State. Given where it is geographically, how are they always one of the like 5 to 10 worst teams in the country every year, it seems?
But I think in defense of Chicago State, they don't have anywhere near the resources as many other programs in D1 do.
Yeah, you are talking to school about a school that itself, this entire school was talking about potentially closing down a couple of years ago. Luckily, it didn't happen, but.
I mean, let's not compare them to Fordham that has probably 10 or 100 times the endowment.
Yeah, 1,000 times the endowment, probably.
I guess on that note, though, that does complete our review of these 22 conferences. And let me kind of ask each of you here is you know, we did see one at-large bid and probably 3 or 4 teams that could have gotten at-large bids had they lost in their conference tournaments out of these leagues last year. Do you see any of those this year? Personally, the team that I'm really looking at is this New Mexico State team we just looked at. But, you know, from all these teams we saw, is there anyone else that you're really looking at, Stalika?
Well, I'm going to look at a team that actually did get the at-large last year, and that was Belmont. One of the reasons, ironically enough, was that star freshman Nick Mazinski actually got hurt during the conference tournament and did kind of open the door a little bit for Murray State to win that game and actually got 2 bids for, I think, the first time in OVC, at least going back to 1987. But by the same token, Mazinski would also be my choice for a potential breakout player. Only a sophomore, but certainly has a lot of upside for the Bruins.
Yeah, Chad, there's about 5 teams that I'm looking at, and I think 3 or 4 of them could get in, and it could be any of the 5. One is New Mexico State. We just talked about them. Another is Liberty, a round of 32 team that won, I think, 27 or 28, 4 starters back. I really, really like this East Tennessee State team that has so many pieces back, and I like this Wofford team, and I kind of like Greensboro, too. From that league, although not as much as the other 4. I mean, I just think that's a pretty strong. And how about Harvard? Is someone else that could end the year with a bloated record? We saw 3 inside the bubble last year, 1 needing the bid, the other 2 not needing it. We actually saw 2 teams from under the radar conferences land in the top half of the bracket. I don't recall that happening. I'm not saying that it hasn't. I just can't think of when it may have. So, but yeah, it wouldn't shock me again to see 3 or 4, maybe even 5 teams inside the bubble this year.
Yeah, I don't know that we're going to see somebody with the records that we saw out of Wofford or we saw out of Buffalo last year, this year. I don't think we have that quite. I don't think we're going to see a 6 seed, but I could see a couple 8 seeds, a couple 9 seeds, something in that ballpark from this year. Yeah. But I guess on that note, any other final thoughts? Slicky, any other final thoughts for the night?
Well, we did tease it a little bit in the WAC with 2 teams slated to move into the conference next year with Tarleton State in Texas and also Dixie State out in Utah. 2 other teams that are going to be joining for the following season are going to be the Bellarmine Knights, who are going to be joining the Atlantic Sun, and UC San Diego will also be joining the Big West next year, so we could track their progress along with Merrimack this year and North Alabama and Cal Baptist this year in their second transitional year.
Yeah, but of course you've got to wait 4 years to play games that to get in the NCAA tournament because
stupid.
I don't know. But David, hey, the final thoughts and to finish us off for the night.
No, I'm just kind of excited about the year. And again, it was fun last year seeing 3 teams land inside the bubble, and you had the feeling that others were really close, Lipscomb being among those, and then New Mexico State, who ultimately didn't need it. I think that we're going to, you know, it's just, again, I'm excited for the start of the season. Under the radar, one of the things that we haven't mentioned yet, I can't believe we haven't, is how crucial this out-of-conference portion of the season is for them, because that's when that's really their best chance, their only chance, really, to get the types of wins that are going to impress the committee.
Absolutely correct. And so these next couple months are a lot more important for these smaller schools, really, than from the bigger schools that will have chances to make up for it with their conference play.
Right, yeah.
But on that note, on behalf of David Griggs and John Sleek, I do want to thank everybody for joining us. We will have one more preseason podcast. We're posting either late Monday night or early Tuesday morning next week, which will be our preseason bracketology podcast. And come Tuesday next week, it's Election Day. And more importantly, we have the top four teams in the nation going head-to-head against each other in one of the greatest opening days, probably the greatest opening day in college basketball history.
It is. It's got to be.
But do want to thank you all for joining us, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
And enjoy those $100 pastrami sandwiches.
Yeah, those
$109.
I got to get me one of those. That must be one hell of a sandwich.